Hello, you're listening to Passages for Life, the ministry of Passages Church. This is Pastor Dennis Smith, and I am so glad you joined us today. Passages exist, first of all, to glorify Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and to reach in to the church to provide support. Hey, when I was growing up, I went to Sunday school, to church service, to youth group, to Sunday evening service, to Wednesday night. And I heard somebody say I had a drug problem when I was a kid. I got drugged to church every time the doors were open. Well, that's the kind of support we had back then. And we don't have as many opportunities to gather together these days, but we have so many resources and great teaching that's available. And it's my desire that Christ would be lifted up, but that the church would be built up by the ministry of Passages Church, that we can just be that additional support to the church. Hey, we're not in competition with anybody. We just want to be a part of what God uses to encourage and build up the body of Christ. We also want to reach out to those who may not know Christ as their Savior. Or it may be those who have been disconnected from the church and they're looking for a safe place to explore their faith. Whatever the reason, we want this to be a support for you. We're going to partake of the Lord's Supper, and I'll tell you more about that during the message. But if you can find some juice and crackers or even bread and water, just something that you can use to symbolize this memorial with our Savior, you might go ahead and prepare for that. And then also our study will be in Acts chapter 2, so you can turn and hold that in readiness. Our call to worship is from Ephesians 4:24. The Apostle Paul says, "And to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." Father God, we come before you with this prayer that you would help us to put on that new self, to follow you, and even put on your righteousness and your holiness. We are so fallible, Lord. In and of ourselves, we could not ever grasp righteousness and holiness. But through your grace, you have extended that to us. We thank you, Lord. Bless our service now for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Holy, holy.
In Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47, we read they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Been held in your hands.
Think with me about how you've seen churches begin. You know, there are several different ways that I have seen churches start. I have seen those where there would be an organization that would take folks from, but who would ask folks from different congregations to come together to form a core group. And from that, a church would grow. I know of two churches that had over 100 people that they started with that came from neighboring churches. And today, both of those churches have close to 2,000 people in attendance. Well, that's one way that churches will begin. Another way I've seen it is the church split. And we know that that happens even in the body of Christ. There will be these splits where there's just disagreements of some sort and a new church is started. Quite often, not with a large group, but with a very small group, and then they may even go and rent some space, like a storefront. I've seen that happen. And, you know, many of those, they don't have the success to keep going. I've seen where there have been a particular church that was a very large church in that they would send a group of people to a community. Now, those are some ways that churches will start today. But what we see in the book of Acts, we see a church that was started that did not have all the things that we typically think of with a church. They didn't have a building. They didn't have an internet web page. They didn't even have a church bulletin. They didn't have the hymn books. They didn't have an auditorium to meet in. But this church started, they didn't even have organization for the most part. I mean, there were the apostles who were teaching on Pentecost, but they didn't have this infrastructure to organize a large group of people. Because what we read of in this book of Acts is a church that was started, and it was completely by the move of the Holy Spirit. There wasn't any organization that got behind it. It wasn't any strategy. It wasn't getting the seven steps to building a great church or anything like that. It was a group of men who were preaching, and on the day of Pentecost, in verse 37, they were convicted to the heart and they interrupted the preaching and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And here's what Peter proclaimed: "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And we find that many, many responded to that. There were 3,000 that the Lord added to their number. And I can just picture this, that there were 3,000 people getting immersed in water as a sign, especially in the Jewish culture, that you're beginning something new. You know, they had ceremonial washings among the Jews, and so they really grasped the idea of baptism. Now, baptism, it means more than that. Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 6, that we're buried with him in baptism into his death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too arise to walk in a newness of life. So there were all these people who got baptized, and let's read this passage again. And we see they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Now, I want to point out three things about this early church. First of all, they were a responsive group of people. And we know this because there were all of that great number that came to know Christ. They responded to the message that was being proclaimed. But they were also a devoted group of people. And we read in verse 42 what they were devoted to. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, the apostles' teaching, today we would call that the preaching of the word. And I might add, the preaching of the word, it should be the preaching of the word. It's not a nice topical speech that we give that just makes people feel good, but it needs to be founded on the Word of God. And so they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And I think about how they would have devoted themselves. It was very customary in Jewish life that they would study the scriptures. You know, even in part of their tradition would have been to have worn the phylacteries where they would have the scripture in front of them constantly. They were constantly thinking about scripture. And so these are the people who came to know Christ as Savior, and they were thinking about Scripture and about the apostles' teaching. And I wonder if we are as devoted to the apostles' teaching. You know, that's a question that each of us needs to answer. And they were devoted to fellowship. Now, we often use the word fellowship to define community. You know, we all need community. But what I find interesting about this, there is more to fellowship than just showing up for a large meeting. Now, we do that. We go to, maybe if we go to a large church service, and if that's the only thing you go to, you know, you walk in and you don't know anybody, and you might shake a hand or two, but you don't really get to know anybody. You don't know what's going on in the heart of that one individual, and they don't know what's going on with you. And so we don't really get a great deal of community when all we do is show up for a church on Sunday morning. And obviously, if you're listening to the message today, and if being a part of the passages service is the only thing you got going on, then you're not going to really have a lot of community. And I'll be talking a little more about that in a few moments. But they were devoted to that. They were devoted to the breaking of bread. Now, my Greek professor taught me this, and this is true, and you can study this, that where the article the, T-H-E, was before breaking of bread, here it is a reference to the Lord's Supper, to communion, and they were devoted to that. Matter of fact, in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, we read the scripture that on the first day of the week when they gathered together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. Now, we know that that was a reference to the Lord's Supper because we find that they met together from house to house. We're going to read here in just a moment. And they would eat meals in homes and they would have this fellowship. So this was specifically talking about a time they gathered to break bread. And so they were dedicated to that. They were devoted to that. And they were devoted to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Now I want to back up there. All the believers were together and had everything in common. That is, they sold property. They sold things that they might have had extra of, or maybe they sacrificed just to give to help each other. You know, we try to pattern the New Testament church off of the church that we see in the book of Acts, but I think we may fall short on this point, on caring for each other to the point where we pull out the checkbook and we really dig deep. And so every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Now, the temple courts was a place where they could meet, and they probably were meeting at different times. You know, maybe, it wasn't like the 11 o'clock service that we have, or 10:30, or even 9 o'clock. It wasn't just this one-hour block of time. This was a continual meeting that was taking place. And I kind of think about a couple months ago when this Asbury meeting was taking place. And I know there were naysayers saying, well, that wasn't really a revival. The only thing I had to say when I would hear the naysayers is, well, you know what? I grew up in churches that had revival meetings, and we scheduled the revival meeting. It wasn't anything that was really prompted by the Holy Spirit. We scheduled it. And then when I became a pastor, we did the same thing. And we would call it a revival meeting. Was it really a revival? Well, it might have encouraged everyone. It might have got people studying the Word more. I think that people were missing the point of what was going on in Asbury. But here's the point that I want to make. It was a continual move, a continual drawing to worship the Lord, whatever you want to call it. And people would come and people would leave. And there was always this influx of people that would enter, and the worship continued. Well, I don't mean to compare that to Pentecost, but it did give me a picture of something that I believe had happened at Pentecost, following Pentecost, that there was this move of the Spirit. It didn't just, you know, stop at any particular time. I think people were just going to the temple courts and going back to their homes constantly. And then it says, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, we see they were a responsive people, a devoted people, devoted to the Word of God, and they were a together people, so much so that they would care for each other to the point of pulling out their checkbook. Now, we all need to have fellowship. And I want to encourage everyone who's listening to not make this your only experience of being drawn to listen to the Word of God. We all need to have some kind of fellowship. I've been reading a book with three other pastors. It's called Sitting at the Feet of Rabbi Jesus by Lois de Wartburg. And the author was a college professor who took a great interest in the Jewish culture and the Old Testament scriptures and how they were the foundation for a great deal of the New Testament scriptures. Now, we know the scriptures where Jesus said in Matthew 18:20, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be in the midst of them." You know, we've heard that. I don't think it means that if you are worshiping God by yourself, you're listening to music, you're praying, and you're reading the Word, that He's not with you. But there's an insight I'm going to share with you from the author of that book in just a moment. But we understand Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'll be in the midst of them." And we understand Proverbs 27:17, where it says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." Now, both of these verses, they show the value of community, even with one other person. Now, when we stop and think about it, true community does not happen in our Sunday morning gatherings. You know, even if you go to a church that has 300 or 400 people, you don't really get true community, because it's like I said on the onset here, that sometimes we don't know what's going on the heart of the person who's sitting next to us or in the row in front of us. Everybody can put on a smile and shake a hand, and they walk out, and nobody knows what is going on. But when we connect with someone else, then we're able to bear each other's burdens. That's where true community comes. You know, I have a fellowship with three other pastors, and we do this online. For about a year and a half, we had not met each other. And I've met two of the guys now, face-to-face, live in person. And one of them I haven't met yet. But what was really interesting, the dynamic that we found, is we were able to connect, and we were able to share, and we were able to bear each other's burdens and to pray for each other. In the Jewish tradition, the Hebrew word haver, H-A-V-E-R, referred to a friend who was like a study partner. And a great part of the learning of Scripture for those in the Jewish tradition was that there would be someone who would challenge, and it could even be a group of students who would all be gathered together and breaking down a scripture and even arguing over a passage. And by doing that, that's where true learning would come. Now, the haver could be just one person. If it was several people, it would be the haverim. Now, the Jewish rabbis, they had a saying that where two people are gathered as haver, then the Shekinah, the glory of God, is with them. Now, that Jewish tradition gives us the basis of an understanding of what Jesus meant when he said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'll be in the midst of them. That we can get that deeper connection, that we can get to know each other. We can get to understand what each other's needs are. We can pray for one another and know what we're praying for specifically. That's where true community is. And one thing I see in this New Testament church in the book of Acts, there was not a minister of education to organize what groups people would go to. There wasn't even anybody who was scheduled to create groups. This was just something that they found on their own. Now keep in mind that their homes were not as big as our homes. They could not have large gatherings. When it says they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, they couldn't have been, you know, in like our large living rooms. Now, there might have been some areas where they could have a larger gathering, but it was probably a very small group, maybe even anywhere from 2 to 4 people in some of these home gatherings. And that's how they found community. And I would dare say that greater community comes if you are sharpening each other between 2 people or between 4 people. Greater community, where you really get to know what someone else is going through and what someone else needs, and you're able to share what you're going through, happens more in that very small haverim than in the large Sunday morning service. And you know, I have to think about Hebrews chapter 10, where the writer says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And he goes on to say that the purpose is that we can spur each other on. Now, we can have the pastor of a church can spur us on with his preaching, but we spur each other on as we find someone that we can encourage and that they can encourage us. And, you know, it really isn't about the size anyway. I've pastored a couple small churches. You know, I have a full-time ministry that I've worked in for years as a hospice chaplain and bereavement counselor with hospice. And so I would have these very small church ministries that were needing a pastor. And a couple of them I went and spent a couple years with. And one of them, I was talking to a gentleman from it the other day, and they only have 4 people that are the regular attenders of their church. And they have 3 that visit with the pastor who has 3 churches. And so there are 3 that go to all 3 churches. And so 3 of the 7 that are at this little church are 3 who've already heard the message and have been to another church. And the question comes, is that really a church? Well, yes, it is. You know, it's a group. Actually, they would be more like the Havarim, you know, where there's, if you only have a small group like that, you're pretty much going to know everybody and know what's going on in their lives. Another church that I pastored had right around 20. And, you know, what was interesting is I was talking to a retired preacher who leads a small group that is a large small group, and he says he has 19 in that. And we laughed, and I told him, well, that's the size of the last church that I was preaching at. Was that a church? Well, yes, it was a church. See, it doesn't matter the number. It can be a very small group that is gathered together, worshiping the Lord, and being an encouragement and the one that sharpens another. And so, having said all this, my encouragement to everyone listening is to find someone that you can share with. You say, well, I don't even know what to share with them. Invite them to listen to this service. And then the two of you could get together by phone or on the computer or live in person at a coffee shop, and you all can discuss the scripture. You can pray with each other. You can share each other's burdens. Everybody needs to have community. My goal for Passages Church is, as I said, not to be in competition with any church. My prayer is that what we are doing can encourage believers and can give you just another resource, another avenue of hearing the Word of God proclaimed. I also want it to be a platform where Jesus Christ is introduced, because He is the only Savior. We are lost without Him. And my friend, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you will see my phone number on the website, passagesforyou.com. Passages, the number 4, and the letter U.com. And you'll find information about Passages Church. I will be a pastor who will respond to you. You know, that makes the ministry of Passages Church a little bit different than other ministries that you would find online, because you can actually talk to the pastor. You can give me a call. You can drop me an email. You can click on message on the website and you can send your message. If you have prayer requests, just know that your prayer request will be held up before the Lord, and we will respond to you. I want you to know that the Lord loves you, and He gave His life for you, and He wants us to be like this early church, to respond to Him. If you don't know Christ, you can know Him. Contact me. Let me share with you. And we can lead you through the very steps that we saw the early church as they surrendered to Jesus Christ. We're coming to a time now where we're going to share the Lord's Supper together. And I invite you to get the emblems if you haven't already done so. And I want to encourage you to just stop and think about what Christ did. This is a time for all believers to worship Him, to lift Him up, to search our hearts. The Scripture says, let us examine ourselves. So I make no judgment on you as to whether or not you can partake. That's totally between you and the Lord. So we come to this time where we will acknowledge the Lord, His death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus said, as often as you take this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death before He comes. Now, we obviously can't show anyone, and I don't think that that's what He meant, that we do it as a show. I think we really show Him that we love Him and that we want Him to be our Savior, and that this is a time of our continued surrender to Him. I'm going to pray, and then I invite you to partake. Father, we come to you thanking you for these emblems that represent the body and the blood of our Savior. We thank you, Lord, that you gave us this picture that we can hold in our hands to remind us, yes, his body was nailed to the cross and his blood was shed for us. The scripture says, shed for many for the remission of sin. Lord, as we come to this time, may we continue our worship by surrendering our hearts to you as we partake. Make us aware of anything that blocks our relationship with you, and give us your cleansing. We surrender to you, Lord, as we partake. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Jesus said, as often as you take this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death until he comes. Let us partake of the bread together. This is the body of Christ. In like manner, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. As often as you partake of this, do this in remembrance of me.
Is that fair?
Thanks for joining us today on Passages for Life, the ministry of Passages Church. We are so glad that you are with us for our first service. And I would like to ask you to respond. Just let us know that you listened to it. You can go to our website at passages4u.com, passages4u.com. You can find out information about our ministry. If you like to support our ministry, there's even a link for that. I would appreciate if you would share this ministry with the folks that you know on your Facebook list or your friends that you email. We would just like to present this as an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and an encouraging word to help someone in their walk. Well, it's been great to have this experience, and every week we'll be coming back to bring you another worship service from Passages Church, Passages for Life. God bless you all. Let me know if I can be of any help to you in your walk with Christ.